Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? We got a big week this week to talk about, and some tings and some stuff had gone on in Western Pennsylvania. Talk about that here in a minute. We'll talk about the Black Bears weekend in Johnstown. Team Maryland back home for some home cooking. Stevenson. Both D3 women's and club team were in action. Navy's D1 was back in action. So was Towson's D1. And the Navy women back in action at home as well. Of course, upcoming games and players. But first, let's address this. I am going to be ranting here for a little bit about the happenings that went on after Saturday night's game between the Maryland Black Bears and the Johnstown Chiefs. If you wanna ditch that, skip ahead to this time to the time code, I will say, which is, and then you can enjoy the rest of the show, less any kind of ranting and raving. Of course, it's going to be skewed because of the ads and stuff like that. But to jump ahead, I will give you the time span in which we're going to do this. So, I'm going to wait for an even number to come up on my my audition here, and let's just talk about it. So move ahead 7 minutes and 20 seconds or so into it if you want to get to the hockey part. After Saturday night's game, where the Black Bears lost, a fracas happened between the coaching staff of the Tomahawks and the Maryland Black Bears. And then the Tomahawks players and the Black Bears, and then the Black Bears coaches and the Tomahawks players and the Tomahawks coaching staff. So much so that if you look at the face-off hockey show pictures that Johnny went to, there was a coach or a staff member being held back by Tomahawks players, which is not a great look for anybody involved. So there's that. I will address this. So all weekend, Cameron Recchi was a target. Cameron Recchi, you remember the last time when they're in Johnstown, he hit Chris Truba, the captain for the Tomahawks, and Truba was far enough away from the boards that he went colliding hard into the boards, back first, injuring his vertebrae, cracking them, and he is out for a prolonged amount of time. It's an accident. It's a bad accident. Wasn't great. And if I remember correctly, Recchi was disciplined. I think he was tossed from that game. I'm not entirely sure. But that happened. So all weekend, Friday and Saturday, he was targeted. He got jumped twice on both nights, and nary a thing was done except for Liam Whitehouse being chucked from the game on Friday night and then suspended for Saturday night's game. At the ends of the third period, overall, it was just something where Recchi got jumped again. So apparently, after the game, and I wasn't there. This is accounts from Johnny P. After the game, he said that as the Black Bears were going to their locker room, which for some ungodly reason is next to. The entrance to their locker room is next to the Tomahawks bench, which makes no goddamn sense to me whatsoever. That's going to be a rant later on. But an assistant coach said something through Recchi, and then they went jawing back and forth. Again, Johnny P's got pictures of this all happening. And then Coach Clint Millamuck goes over, and then I guess Johnny said a Johnstown player said something to him, and then the players stuck up for him. It was a very weird scene at the end of it. I will say this. Is that any time a coach, and if Coach Millamuck did something like this, I would say the same damn thing. Anytime a coach does something to a player, either his own or opposing player, that is not great. Especially in possibly knowing the rivalry between these two teams. If something was said between the two unjustly or tauntingly, that should be looked at by the NAHL. It's not something that needs to be done, especially when you're dealing with a teenager's game. It is not something that should be looked upon as professionals. These kids aren't professionals. They're looking for a college career. So, I mean, this feud has gone on long enough, and it's going, it's getting to that point where it is almost over the edge. As it stands right now, the next time the Maryland Black Bears will go to Johnstown will be in the playoffs if they make it there. And the it's a matter of then safety comes into it. Johnstown comes to Maryland March 6th and 7th. It is a situation where the league has to do their due diligence. The league has to be put the player's safety first. This is a league of opportunity, but at the same time, it should be a league of safety as well. It has the propensity to be something much bigger than it needs to be. And I think that when all is said and done, you have to look at the safety of the players and the actions of the coaching staffs from top to bottom. It goes if for Johnstown cases, it starts at Mike Letizia. In the Black Bears cases, it starts with Clint Millamuck. These two men, if something were to happen, I'm not saying it did, but if something were to happen where there's interaction, and for any coach in the NHL, they need to be held accountable by the league, and something needs to be done. Furthermore, the situation in Johnstown is entitlement. The entitlement that they believe they're better than everybody else in the league when they haven't won anything. The entitlement that they can go ahead and dip and dive and then mug players with no any kind of action whatsoever by the league. The entitlement that they can intimidate visiting teams by having the locker room of the visiting team next to the home team bench so that the players have to skate past the home team bench during intermissions and everything else. The layout in the Johnstown War Memorial Coliseum, whatever the hell they want to call it, that is just it's a terrible way to go. It's a terrible layout. That's something that the NHL really needs to do, because I think that that's not just the Black Bears thing. I think it's overall that can cause problems going forward for any team. And that's something that should have been addressed when they came into the league, and furthermore as they keep on developing through the league. Moreover than that, the antics of a goaltender who used to play for the Black Bears, who now plays for Johnstown, of diving, acting like he got shot. I almost wanted them to sweep for snipers in the arena. It was that bad. Johnny even posted a picture where he said he was rubbing his jaw and then winked to his teammates on the bench. So take that for what it's worth. While I think Luke Mountain taking a penalty for running into him was a selfish and somewhat dumb penalty because it put the Black Bears down down two men. And late in the game when they were tied up, I can understand why Luke Mountain did it. It does, you know, they killed it off so it absolves him, but it would have been better if he buried that backhand too. That would have been so sweet. My point is this, is that while rivalries are fun, rivalries are great, rivalries get things going, when you put player safety into it, when guys are getting mugged, when coaches are yelling at players after the game is done, and then coaches are being shown via photograph being held back by their team, that's not great. That's not what this game is all about. That's not what this league should be wanting to be put forward. So I challenge the league right now to do something about this whole idea, because it's something that can escalate. It's something that's probably going to be bad overall, and I think it needs to be nipped in the bud right now before anybody gets even further hurt. So there's that, and that's all I'll have to say about that, don't you know. Now back into it with the hockey part of the show, and we've got ourselves not a great weekend for the Black Bears. Two heartbreaking losses overall. It started off bad because the first two goals that Johnstown scored on Friday night were not broadcasted because someone in the booth hit the stop button and then didn't know how to reconnect. So two big rebounds, according to Johnny P, who was there at the game, and you see his photos up on the Face Off Hockey Show Facebook page, rather. So two goals quick there in the first 6 minutes of the game, not great. Second period came turnaround. Reed Leibold on the power play made quick work of that from Luke Mountain and Hampus Rydqvist. Then mere 30 seconds later, Johnstown gets the two-goal lead back. Then the power play clicked again. Early in the third, Aiden Bruich with his 10th of the season on the power play from Rydqvist and Oleksiak. with that one, but that's all she wrote. They tried as much as they could, and away they went as the loss 3-2 for the Black Bears. Cooper Black, 31 saves in the losing effort. Jump to Saturday, kind of a very interesting game. Got started off quick. Garrett Szczeslowski with his 7th goal of the year off a nice little pass from Filip Jakobsen and Mikael Gonchar. Then literally 7 seconds later, Johnstown ties it back up. Early in the second, Cameron Recchi gets his 4th of the year from Jackson Starrett and Brandon Stannard. And then midway through the period, a minute apart, Johnstown scores to go give themselves the go-ahead lead, but Ree Leibold on the power play again, slowly becoming the power play specialist, at least for this weekend, as he pots his 6th of the year from Stannard and Rydquist. Then in overtime, 2:30 into it, halfway through, Johnstown seals it, and that's it. That was all she wrote on that one. Andrew Takis, 31 saves in the losing effort on that one. The points were something that were appreciated by the Black Bears, though, as they are still in 4th place, but they are 2 points behind Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, and they are now 3 points above the Maine Nordiques and have 3 games at hand on the Nordiques as well. So that's something to look forward to, but a 5-game losing skid, not the best thing you want to do as you're making a push for the playoffs in the second half of the season here. Granted, they have gotten points in 3 of those 5 games, but still, not something that is ideal as you cruise towards the playoffs, as you look towards the playoffs now, as it is in sight. The biggest thing right now is just to get the shake the cobwebs off, and you got to go up to Western New York this weekend, try to get some points there against a team who is not so great, a team who you have 10 points on, but a team that always seems to have the Black Bears number at their home rink. We'll talk about that more in a bit. But also, some moves were made this week for the Maryland Black Bears, including a trade that happened on Monday as Jack Smiley was traded to the Black Bears from the Shreveport Mudbugs for an exchange for a 5th-round pick in the 2021 draft. Smiley comes in as a graduating player. He has played 35 games so far, 6 goals, 10 points, 94 penalty minutes, and 2 power play goals. Pretty all-around player, 6'4", 203. Going to be a big body in front of the net, going to give that power play a little bit more pizzazz, kind of get Aiden Bruich, I guess, a little bit more room to work rather than be the big man set in front of the net. Also gives the Black Bears a little bit more physicality in their in the process as well. So a big signing from there. And it seems like the guys they bring in from Shreveport, last year was Bradley Drenyon, and he did very well before he was injured on the defensive line. We'll see what Jack Smiley can bring in. Also Tim Morgan, who has been brought in kind of in and out of the lineup here for the Black Bears. But he was he's somebody that it seems like the pipeline between Shreveport and Maryland is very wide open. So that's always a good thing to figure out as well. Also, we've got ourselves a tender signing as Chase Tallaire was last week, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And they got one of his teammates from the Sioux Indians in Tanner Rowe, who plays for the Calumet High School Copper Kings in Michigan, as well as the Sioux Indians, a right wing center, 9 goals, 8 assists in 13 games for Calumet High, and then 37 goals and 53 assists total for his 64 games there. So a big upside offensive player in that situation there in the Michigan pipeline keeps on a coming for the Maryland Black Bears. Move onward and upward to Team Maryland as they were back home. But before things got started there, it was announced that Captain Evan Green committed to Becker College in Worcester, Massachusetts for a D3 hockey career. So congratulations to El Capitan for that one, the first college commit for the Team Maryland EHL squad right there. On Sunday, things got back to business as they got back to some home cooking at Piney Orchard. And they'll be at Piney Orchard the rest of the way home, so that's really good for them. They took on the North Carolina Golden Bears this weekend, and Sunday night, 5-0 was the final. but a bigger story was the goaltending of Mr. Ben Vucci, who was in goal for the North Carolina Golden Bears. 65 saves, and pretty much this thing could have been blown wide open, but because of him and some timely saves, it wasn't. Stayed 5-0. was the final there. Joseph Donahue got things going just over a minute in. Tristan Mock with the assist there. Then Cody Rumsey midway through the period from Johnny Jackson and Jada Reuter, while Donahue got his second of the period, second of the game from Kyle Netsby and Tristan Mock. Jackson Dobek got an even strength goal midway through the second from Mock, who had four assists on the night. And then with his fourth assist coming on Johnny Jackson's power play goal 4 minutes into the third period. Evan Green on the assist as well as Mock there. Peter Sciolas with 19 saves for the shutout victory. Then in Monday afternoon, Team Maryland won again. 9-1 was the final. This time it was just, again, all Team Maryland. Dobek admitted in from Roy Gresham and Tristan Mock. Jada Reuter with an even strength goal 10 minutes into the first period. Cody Rumsey, Johnny Jackson on the assist. Donahue again 3 minutes after that. Mock and Gresham on the assist. Then Vincent Maurice on the power play 5 minutes into the second period from Bobby Geyer and Jackson. Jada Reuter, his second of the game from John McDonald and Rumsey. Jeff Redman, 2 minutes after that, even strength goal from Rumsey. North Carolina gets on the board with 16:57 gone in the second period, and then less than 2 minutes later than that, Jackson Dobek shorthanded. Make it 7-1. Third period, John McDonald with a goal. Jada Reuter, Johnny Jackson on the assist. Sam Shepard ends it out 16 minutes, 13 seconds into the third. Geyer and McDonald, the assist on that one. So Tristan Mock, big weekend for him. Roy Gresham, big weekend for him. Dobek, same for him. Johnny Jackson has been tremendous since coming onto this this Team Maryland team. Zach Richards, 19 saves in the winning effort for the Team Maryland as they get back on the winning side of things. That helps them out a lot in the standings. Top six get in, kind of cushions their blow a little bit as we look at the Mid-Atlantic Division. Puts them in solely in fifth place, 10 points above the Junior Flyers and 20 points above Apple Corps. I feel bad. I feel bad for the North Carolina Golden Bears. They are on a 29-game losing streak. They have only scored 36 goals this year, given up 246. They didn't look too terrible of a team, but this is a team that also didn't look like they were a EHL kind of team. It looked like they could have played in another league and would have been fine. So there's that. We'll talk about Team Maryland, where they're going to next, a little later on in the show, but we move on to Stevenson's men's team. They were making a little trek around Hershey, Pennsylvania, then up to Elmira, New York, and they brought back home with them probably some chocolate and two big victories for themselves, getting back on the winning track for them after a down weekend last weekend. First, they went to Lebanon Valley and won 7-3 over, I think they're the Dutchmen. Started off 7:52 into it. Shorthanded goal by Ryan Patrick. Chris Javins on the assist on that one. Lebanon Valley got one back late in the first period. Then on the second period, Nick Gray from Ryan Patrick and Austin Master. Then Lebanon Valley got two power play goals quick within the first 3 minutes of the third period to take the lead. And then it was five unanswered from there. Carl Leiden, power play goal from the amazing Christian Ripley and Dominic Brenza. 3 minutes after that, Ryan Patrick gets one unassisted. Then the power play continued to take over as 11:22 into the period, Austin Master gets a goal from Aaron Murray and Luke Benitez. It was only a minute, less than a minute after that. Bruce Tachadis with a goal there. I butchered that name, and I'm sorry. Carl Leiden and Ripley on the assist, and then Oleg Potemkin with a goal there to end it out 14:42 into the thing. Aaron Murray, Ryan Kenny, the goaltender with the assist there. Ryan Patrick and Austin Masters got three stars on that one. Ryan Kenny, 21 saves in the winning effort. And then they move on to Elmira, Pine Valley, New York, to be exact. And it was all Stevenson on this one. 2-1 was the final there. Dominic Brenza gets things going in the middle of the period. Shorthanded goal unassisted. Elmira gets one back 2 minutes later. And then a minute after that, Carl Leiden from Christian Ripley. Nothing in the second period, and then Nick Gray scored just a magical goal, batting one out of midair after his own shot. Rebounded, kicked up in the air, hand-eye coordination. He pots one in. Ryan Patrick, Austin Masters on the assist. And then on the power play, Carl Leiden, late into the third period, gets a power play goal. Brenza and Stachias with the assist there. Austin Masters finishes out with 35 seconds late, left on the power play. Gray and Patrick on the assist. Kenny, 36 saves for his ninth win of the season. A huge, huge weekend for the Stevenson University men's hockey team as they try to continue to get ranked, stay in that polling for the whole idea. And boy howdy, it got them some player recognitions of the week, let me tell you, as Carl Leiden won MAC Offensive Player of the Week. 4 points over the weekend, 3 goals and an assist with a +1 rating. Then Ryan Kenny, a man who plays with no socks on his legs, which is really weird to me, went 2-0 this week, made 57 saves in total with 2 victories. The freshman doing yeoman's work back there in net, taking on a big workload, especially since he's a backwards goalie too, so that helps out his cause a lot, although I'm sure scouting reports will get to him sooner rather than later. But a big weekend for the Stevenson D3 men. The women, on the other hand, not so great. Didn't get the results they were looking for, even though Nikki Kendrick got the goal and gave Stevenson their first ever lead against Elmira in franchise history. She got a goal late in the second period from T. Ferreira and Allie Gibson, but then Elmira scored 2 in the third to end the whole dang thing. Annie Smith-Hammond, 45 saves in the losing effort against Elmira. Then they went up to, or around to, William Smith University, the Fresh Prince of universities, as it were. And not so great, Bob. Not so great, as they lost 6-0 to the Fresh Prince Cranes. Anika Carlander made only 30 saves in the game. The weird stat sheet that they have here for William Smith, shots and then shots on goal. So they had 36. She made 30 saves. That's math, kids. So not a great weekend as the Stevenson women dropped to 5-7-2, 3-4-0 in the UCHC conference. Navy's D1 were back in attack, and without lack of a further ado, see, they went up to Temple. And they took on Temple, and they took out Temple. 4-1 the final on Friday night. Goal scoring nothing in the first period. Then in the second period, 4 minutes into the period, Derek Olembrowski with his goal, a Joe Kelly and John Mullen on the assist. Then Joe Kelly got a goal on his own, 14:52 into the period, Connor Hayden on the assist. Then that same duo knocked it up again 3 minutes into the third period, while Connor Hayden decided he wanted to get a goal there from Eddie Chow. On the assist, 13 minutes in, and that was Charles Daughtry with 29 saves in the winning effort. Then on Saturday, they went over to PSU Berks, and there's no score sheet for that one, so we have to go off their Twitter, which is hilarious, by the way. I love their scratchers. It was a great time. Good work there, midshipman. Josiah Talvo with 2 goals in the game in an 8-1 victory over Penn State Berks. Mac McVickers with a goal. Golombrowski. Riley Jamison had 2. Joe Kelly with another one. And an unknown goal scorer because he was quote-unquote redacted. How about that? How do you like that? So Navy getting back on the winning ways as they make a push, as they stand atop the ECHC conference standings, which is huge for them. And they'll see if they can keep that going here for the next couple months. Towson University, they were back in action. 3-game set for them this weekend, all at Ice World, and it was a good one for Friday night's game, at least, as they take on Duquesne, and they won 5-4 was the final there. Ryan Dieter got things going. It's 6 minutes into the first period. Nick Nakagawa and Matt Curtin with the goals there, or with the assist there. Duquesne got one back, and then Dieter again from Ethan McGregor, 16 minutes into the first period. Towson then, under a minute and a half into the second period, Matthew Barilla from Curtin and Colin Mercier gets them up 3-1. Duquesne answered back, and then answered back again to tie it 4 minutes, 49 seconds into the third before Drew Lustig got the lead back for Towson. Constant Panassis with the assist. Duquesne got one back, 14:30 in, and then with under 2 minutes remaining, Ryan Dieter finishes off his natty bow hatty there, horn! With Drew Lustig on the assist, and that gives it a 5-4 final there. Jacob Schneider, 41 saves in the winning effort. No rest for the wicked as they took on IUP, the Indiana University of Pennsylvania, on Saturday. And 4-2, short end of the stick for Towson as they got started good, 13-48 into the first. Matt Curtin unassisted. Then IUP scores the next two and the only two in the second period, while Colin Hayward scores for Towson with Ethan McGregor on the assist, and then IUP finishes it out with two goals late into the game, and that's all she wrote for that one. Jacob Schneider, 61 saves. So if you're scoring at home, or even if you're alone, that's 102 saves in two games for Jacob Schneider. Sunday, they kept on going, and it was not as favorable for Towson. 8-2, IUP wins. IUP got the first five goals of the game. Then 8:59 into the second, Colin Hayward gets another goal for himself this weekend. Then about 2 minutes after that, Drew Lustig for Matt Curtin, Constance Panassis, and then that was it. IUP gets the last three. That's all she wrote. Jacob Schneider, 58 saves in the losing effort. That's 160 saves over three games for Jacob Schneider. Okay. Well, I mean, we've said this before. Towson is not the best defensively. And getting back and everything like that in three games and 3 days. But still, 160 saves over three games. Goodness gracious. That's a lot of saves. That's averaging 50-some saves. I can't do the math that quickly. That's averaging what? Over three games, it's the five, the fifth, the one. That's a lot. That's over 50 saves a game. Good God in heaven. Stevenson's club team, they had a sweep of their own this weekend as well. No score sheet, so we went by their Twitter, another great Twitter for the club team there. They beat Scranton 9-1 on home ice at the Reisterstown Sportsplex. Brandon Scholes with the natty boo, Hattie Dare Horn. While Daniel Trebgavov got his first collegiate goal, so shout out to him on that one. Brian Hodges had a goal. Mark Bowen had two. Jake Vance had one, and then an unknown scorer gets the other one. Then on Saturday, Drexel 5-1, they beat them. Two wins, big sweep of the weekend. Val Ramage had two. Brandon Scholes had two, and the unknown scorer had yet another goal. He's going all over the place with Navy and now Stevenson. What a great weekend for Stevenson to get back in the swing of things. Guys are getting healthy just in time for the big kick going forward. So awesome to see them back going on. And then finally, we can't forget about the ladies, and we can't forget about Navy hockey. And the Navy women took on Pitt, and they took them out. 7-4 on Friday night in a big one. By the way, I want to say that the Navy, whoever broadcasted the Navy women's game, Friday and Saturday, it was a joy to listen to you, and I do not mean that in any form of sarcasm. It was awesome. Did a great job. You did play-by-play by the book, and you added a little flair to it because you knew the players. Very awesome. Big Maggie, Little Maggie could be my best tandem and my favorite tandem of all time. So awesome. Good work there, and I appreciate Navy doing that and the Brigade Sports Complex for streaming these on YouTube. So awesome work there by the ladies there, and also worked by the Navy women's team. 7-4 the final against Pitt. Maggie Madigan got things going quick, or not really quick, midway through the first period. Unassisted goal, then Pittsburgh 5 seconds later, hard to believe, got one back. And then Corinne Ramos gets one back 2 minutes after that from Maggie Madigan. And then Maggie Madigan again, 2:30 into the second period, another unassisted goal for herself. And then 28 seconds after that, Lauren Power gets one from Celeste Foley. Pittsburgh scores one back before Devin Marshall, 11 minutes and 20 seconds into the period, gets a goal for herself unassisted. Pittsburgh gets another one back, and then Marshall again unassisted on a goal of her own to end the period with just 21 seconds remaining. Then 11 minutes and 20 seconds into the third period, Joey Whaling gets a goal from Emma Knapp and Michaela Stangle. Pittsburgh closes it 2-3, but that's as close as they got there. Shannon Hart, 14 saves in the winning effort. And then on Saturday night, Five took nothing. Five Cobb, as the kids like to say. Quinn Ramos get the things going midway through the first period. Michaela Stengel with the assist there. And then 17-43, Devin Marshall for Maggie Madigan. And then 3 seconds later, Maggie Madigan from Devin Marshall. Wow. Clockwork. 11:04 into the second period. Maggie Madigan unassisted. And then 5:15 into the third. Maggie Madigan again for a Natty Boo Heady Horn. And a definite Natty Boo. Natty Premium on that Wind Ear Horn. Three straight goals for a natural hat trick for Maggie Madigan. Julia Chenoweth with 17 saves in the shutout as the Navy women keep going strong as they look to finish the season strong and finish into the top, I think the top five or six, top four maybe go into the playoffs. So here's hoping that they can keep on kicking and then go on to the playoffs there. So big weekend for a lot of teams involved. But now we look on to the future. This weekend is done. We look onward and upward. Friday and Saturday for the Maryland Black Bears. They are in Jamestown, New York. Like I said, it seems that Jamestown is a haunted place for the Black Bears. They've gotten one win, I believe, on Jamestown ice in their franchise history. We'll see if they can shake that demon this weekend. Team Maryland back at home on Friday. They'll take on the New Jersey 87s. Just a one-night-only affair down at Piney Orchard. Actually, I think it's an afternoon game. Stevenson's D3 men, they are taking on Fredonia at home at the Reisterstown Sportplex Friday and Saturday, while the D3 women, they will be taking on Wilkes and King's College Friday and Saturday afternoon. I believe it's afternoon. They're playing double hitters. They're playing back-to-back like Drake and Meek Mill. So they go check it out on their website there. Navy D1, they are at home for Friday's game against Temple. And then they are on the road at Drexel on Saturday night. Towson, they take on Pitt Friday and Saturday, and then they go away on Sunday to take on William Patterson for some ungodly reason. What a terrible – not a great scheduling, kids. Not a great scheduling. The Terps D2, they're back in action. They will be at the College of New Jersey and Rider University on Friday and Saturday, while the Navy D2, they will be taking on St. Joseph University on Saturday afternoon, I believe, Saturday night. It's on their YouTube page, too. If you sign up to the Brigade Sports Complex, all their stuff is there for the taking. Navy's women's, they are taking on, they're at home all weekend. Weird scheduling, though. They take on Liberty University Friday and Sunday, a top-tier team in women's hockey, regardless, women's club hockey, when you look at D1 or D2, top of the ranks there for Liberty. So Friday and Sunday of that, and on Saturday, they'll take on Michigan State. As Michigan State returns a favor, traveling to Annapolis after the women went up to Lansing and took on Michigan State earlier this year. Loyola women are back at it. They are at Villanova on Saturday night, so check that out. Saturday afternoon. It's noontime. I don't know why I say Saturday night. I guess I'm predisposed to saying hockey games are at night, but they're not. They're spread all out. It's a weekend thing. So go check out your local listings for more, and we'll have a preview this weekend for sure. Let's end this out, this long, drawn-out podcast with some players. Why don't we? Sam Annis of the Iowa Wild had an assist on Tuesday and an assist on Monday against Bakersfield, and I don't remember who it was, respectively. Adam Varga got a goal last Sunday night, while William Marshall got an assist on Friday. Big, big night for Jarrett Rosberg of Michigan State on Friday against Wisconsin. Rosberg had two goals, including an empty netter and an assist on Friday night during the big victory against Wisconsin in Big Ten play. Veronica Petty had two goals on Saturday night against UConn to help lead the shutout sweep of UConn by Northeastern. They shut them out both games. They played them this weekend. Pretty fantastic. And then Colin O'Neill, a goal and an assist on Saturday against Merrimack College as UMass Lowell continues to roll on, roll on, roll into the river. Take a look at Sam Walther, too, who had a game on Monday afternoon, a loss to the Boston Pride. 36 saves in the losing effort, .878 save percentage in that one. For the year, she sits at 7-9-1, .407 goals against, .891 save percentage for the Metropolitan Riveters there, as that ends out our players segment. And I thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys for taking in my rant. If you did, if not, I don't blame you either. But positive vibes. Let's go forward. Let's get this big weekends, man. I think by and large, a better winning weekend than a losing one. Let's push forward. Let's try to get a Maryland sweep this weekend, huh? How about we do this? Thanks to everybody for listening. It means more than you guys know. So that's it. That's all. For me, I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, powered by Blog Talk Radio. If you want to check out Johnny P's photos, facebook.com/FOHS Radio. Both of them from Johnstown are up there, including some cool pictures he took of the dog that saved the city. How about that? Twitter, Chesapeake HW Pod, and all the other fun stuff. Subscribe to iTunes. Give us a rating. All that fun stuff. And thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Until next week, Natty Bow Hattie's around this weekend, Erhon. Whole lot of them, Erhon. Get the summer shandy ready to go as we get ready to go to the ocean. I can almost see the ocean from here, Erhon. Well, not where I'm at in North Dakota. There's a lot of snow. Crazy. Go play that clutch of crab hockey. We'll talk to you there next week.